College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what else? Some college football. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been in the teens, like 14, 15 different postponements or cancels. It's been a mess, to say the least, these last couple of weeks. It keeps increasing. However, we are in single digits sitting here Wednesday in middle of the afternoon. So that is a good thing. Hopefully we can keep that puppy down underneath the 10-game postponement cancellation. Welcome back to the show anyway, the College Ball Show. We got a variety of things to talk about, no doubt about it. Yesterday we did have the first initial rankings come out to see who will. We wish it was eight. I mean, there's still time, they can change it. But, you know, who's going to get in that top four spots, the national semifinals? Just off air before we came on, we had a fun little debate that will carry over. And it kind of made our point in general, because we were making point to point and going back and forth. And it just seems like eight teams would make a lot more sense this year. So that's just something that we're going to kind of stay on. But we'll debate that in a moment, or not in a moment, but in a little bit. We will start with recap from week 12, which had a variety of really, really competitive games. Cincinnati barely got by Central Florida, 36-33. Indiana made a hell of a run back to make that game close. It looked like a blowout, 42-35. Ohio State holds on. Even Thursday night, Tulsa-Tulane was a double overtime game. That was a fun, fun game. Northwestern pulled the upset, took it to Wisconsin, 17-7, five turnovers from Wisconsin there. Oregon sneaks by UCLA. Oklahoma takes care of business inside the Big 12. USC wins a game where they didn't have to score twice in the last 3 minutes or something like that. So we did have some really, really fun games that we're going to discuss. Obviously, tomorrow, happy Thanksgiving for those who celebrate. We do have some games on Friday. This is rivalry week normally, right? Usually it's in-state stuff and all that. It's not set up that exact way this year. But normally this is the weekend before. This is the last week of college football normally. And then the first Friday, Saturday in December, that's when the conference championship games are. Friday, though, number 13, Iowa State versus number 17, Texas. I really like that game. That's going to be a fun game. Notre Dame, number 2 in the new rankings against number 19, North Carolina. That, because of North Carolina's offense, could be interesting. And there's a variety of other games that we'll discuss that could be competitive. Minnesota and Wisconsin, I don't know if it would have been competitive, to be honest, you know, being a Minnesota fan. But Minnesota barely hung on and had enough to really compete last week. They actually had to shut down, and now the game's completely off. So it'll be the first time Minnesota and Wisconsin hasn't played since 1907. So 113 straight years that Wisconsin and Minnesota have met in college football, and that is not gonna happen. I'm looking at some of this stuff, and one of the things, once we get into this, Kentucky has a damn good defense. They hung on for a very short while. It kind of looked like they were actually going to be able to come under the spread against Bama, and then Bama just ran them over. I think it was like 63-3 or something like that. So you look at that Florida spread this week and you go 23.5. Going into last week, I probably have been like, man, I'm going to take Kentucky under because I think that they can just get beat but hang on a little bit. But now I really don't know. So, yeah, we're going to preview and predict some of these Week 13 games. Of course, talk about Week 12 at the start, and then go over some of the top-tier rankings, really the top 10. Should teams like Ohio State or even Clemson, they've played more games than Ohio State, but should teams be ranked off of, you know, what they've done in the past, what they have on their roster, the eye test, and hey, let's not forget resume. And resume is the schedule you have to play, but also what's your best win and who you lost to. So we're going to definitely dig into that. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoveradio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk, like I said, and Rope It Over Radio and download the show there or listen to the browser if you don't want to. You can find this here College Ball Show under the Rope It Over Radio podcast at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, really almost across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost everywhere, including Spotify, while you're at it. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you cut it and you're not quite happy, you know, obviously the temperature's going down in a lot of places, right? And you're going to be stuck inside a fair amount. I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They have the 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract. Once you sign up, the plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR right there, of course. And right now, just for signing up, you get a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. And there's another layer. Then we're going to get to college football. If you get the Max package, it already includes HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month on that platform. It's called AT&T TV Now, live streaming cable. Okay, so there is a variety of things to talk about, no doubt about it, but I think that we should key in on Wisconsin, Northwestern, and Indiana, Ohio State. Just because we actually got an upset, let's go with Northwestern in Wisconsin. Now, Northwestern, every 3 to 4 years, they generally, put together a squad. That's kind of the system that they have to do, and they stick to it pretty damn well. Last year, they didn't have a good year. This year, they're going to the Rose Bowl. No, I don't know about that. But they could, but no, I don't even know how that's going to work, actually. But they are, it looks to be now Wisconsin. By the way, if you're a Minnesota fan, or for whatever reason, you just don't like Wisconsin, I'm your friend already, but they can't get to the conference final regardless now. I mean, they probably wouldn't because it would take Northwestern to lose twice because of the tiebreaker, but they just literally can't because they've missed too many games now, which I'm not too bummed about. It was kind of early on, a touchdown drive, 7-0, fumble, touchdown, 7-7. Northwestern missed a field goal, but there was interceptions, there was fumbles, there was interceptions. There was a somewhat late touchdown in that second quarter, so 14-7 at half. And then it turned into the defense shutting down. We could talk about the late interception, no doubt about it, and turnover on downs and everything like that. But, man, when you look at the second half stuff here on offense for Wisconsin, you know, was it a freshman game? I know they were missing bodies on the line. I know that didn't help them out, and that's part of the reason why it's suspended too. But four plays, turnover on downs and interception, three plays, turnover on downs. That's the possessions that I just read for the whole second half, Marshall. For Wisconsin.
Yeah, it wasn't a pretty game to watch. I think that Wisconsin obviously hasn't benefited from their COVID problems. I know some teams have bounced back good and others have struggled, but when you had such a great start to your first game with this new quarterback of yours, then the guy pretty much has to take 3 weeks off in quarantine, like, that kind of ruins the whole flow and the rhythm. I mean, Wisconsin's always going to have a good defense. We know that. But offensively, they started off really promising this year, and then they've had breaks due to COVID and all sorts of stuff. So clearly, their offense was not fully prepared, or they had maybe they looked a little better than we thought from that game against Illinois. So, yeah, props Northwestern, though. Like, this team, this is a weird year, and right now they're sitting with a chance to probably play Ohio State to win a Big Ten title. Like, and even if the year is 2020, we've had a weird year. If you're Northwestern, that would be something you would hold on to for a long time as a fan. Like, you have a chance, like, especially in this year where everything is so weird, you never know. So yes, clearly a defensive battle. Both offenses were pretty much trash. But Northwestern did just enough. Clearly the Badgers young quarterback went through some growing pains, which we probably could expect because that's what happens to young quarterbacks. You have an in-conference game with two teams who have a strong defense and are both well coached. Like, something's going to happen. And Wisconsin just had a awful night offensively. You can't have five turnovers and expect to win a game. It was just a tough blow to them. And it pretty much kind of makes their season now irrelevant. And now you have another postponement for COVID. Like, as a Badger football fan, you went from starting the year off, your quarterback goes 24 of 25 with like five touchdowns, and now you're going to play maybe five games this year, and you can't win your division. So it's really been a up and down, high and low, if you're a football fan in Madison. Chris, I know you're not shedding any tears.
No, I'm okay. I slept great last night.
Yeah.
I slept great.
Credit to Northwestern, though. Maybe this is your year. As I was telling you before we started here, there were people who had tickets on Northwestern at 200-1, like, at the start, like months before college football even started, like around the COVID pandemic time. Right. 200-1. Now, if you have that ticket in your hand and they play Ohio State, I would call the richest person I know and hedge that bet and have yourself a nice day. Because, I mean, even if the spread, you know, you would find a way to make it happen. Find a way. So, we'll see. We'll see. But credit to Northwestern. And speaking of defenses, though, to flip to the other page.
Well, real quick, though, I want to say this.
Sure.
That victory marks the first time the Wildcats beat a top 10 Associated poll opponent by double digits since 1959. Versus Oklahoma. And let's remember, they were 3-9 last year, Northwestern.
For a team that has to recruit a bunch of really smart kids, and there's no loopholes like you can have down in the SEC land, Fitzgerald probably is a pretty damn good coach. Like, we talk about a lot of good coaches in football. To even once every couple of years make your team respectable and you're bringing in like some of the smartest kids that go to school in the country, like that guy probably maybe one day will get a different job. I know they locked him up and they've thrown a lot of money into their sport facilities, and obviously he appears pretty content there, but
sure,
that could be a coach who maybe down the road could get another higher ranking football job and probably have a pretty successful run, because if you can be good in Northwestern, I can't imagine you probably couldn't even work more magic if you had more talented players on the field. Speaking of talented players, I guess Ohio State fell asleep a little bit. Like, holy shit.
The second half, they let the gas off the fucking pedal. They were up 35-7.
Yeah, and so if you bet Ohio State, dude, you're sitting easy. Like, everything's looking good. This is what we expected. It was a tough spot for Indiana, but then
it looked like exactly how you called it too. You said, "Nah, this can be a slaughter." It looked exactly like that.
Yeah, but does this give you reason to be a little afraid moving forward for bigger games? Because up until this game, Indiana's offense had not been great. They'd been okay. They'd won games, but their offense was not like Florida this year. Their offense has been they'd taken advantage of turnovers, respectable, but nothing crazy.
Right.
They threw for 491 yards,
five touchdowns, dude. And it was just that, because they had 16 carries for negative 1 yards, Marshall. It was all that. 51 times they threw, but yeah, 491, 5 TDs. And that Freifogel, 7 for 218 and 3 touches.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, I would say that is a warning to Ohio State, or maybe a lot of nice film coverage for other teams to say, hey, like, Ohio State, we know they're a good team, but is their secondary that good? Because, I mean, their secondary just got lit up. And that, I heard some numbers. I think it was around, like, in the 60s. It's been a super, super long time since a quarterback scored for that many yards in the Big Ten or against Ohio State. Like, that was just surprising. Like, yes, Ohio State won. You did enough to hold on. Like, that's a gutsy comeback by Indiana. But even in, Chris, a lot of college football games we watch every year, like, it's hard to find a team that gives up 491 yards passing. Like, I mean, there's a couple of offenses who are just going to sling the ball everywhere. Power 5
especially. I mean, Power 5 especially. Like,
yeah, that's so.
Yeah, it's crazy. They missed a field goal, and they didn't go for a field goal, and they turn over on downs late in the game, too. I thought that was kind of like, hey, dude, know your situation you're in. You know, this team is still in this game, dude.
Yeah, and that was just – yeah, that probably wasn't the smartest decision. I think he had a lot of Ryan Day, he had a lot of confidence in his offense. And actually, the play they called that situation was a good play. The quarterback just made a garbage pass. But, yeah, that was – I would be obviously happy you won. Okay, you're still sitting in your chance for – your national title this year, and that was maybe your toughest point you have left in the Big Ten, because the Big Ten this year is obviously down. But yeah, that could be a film or a red flag to show a team like Clemson or Bama, like, dude, if Indiana can light up their secondary, what are we going to do? So that's kind of maybe Indiana had a great game plan, maybe the guys got cocky, but something. But that's definitely a red flag, because those numbers you don't see in Ohio State normally has a pretty good secondary. So, yeah, that's a little concerning, but they got the job done. If you're Indiana, I would just keep winning as many games as you can. You're on pace to have one of the more successful college football seasons you've had in the past 20 to 30 years, I can recall. I mean, the last time I ever really remember them is Randall L., and he was a fun quarterback to watch, and even he didn't have, you know, spectacular seasons. They were just an enjoyable team. So I would keep trying to find ways to win. You played the best team in your conference. You lost by 7. I would try to run the table and give yourself a really nice bowl game, or whatever we're going to call the bowl system this year. So, yeah. And hell, Justin Fields, dude, he also fell asleep in the second half too. He had himself, he threw some interceptions where, if we're talking, this guy's a top 5 NFL pick. If I'm an NFL GM and you're falling on your butt and you chuck the ball up for, like, there was a lot of questionable plays by on his part, because for the most part he's only been a really steady, reliable quarterback, Chris. So again, I know that teams get confident when you have a lead, but Ohio State got too confident, or Indiana put together a hell of a fight and exposed a couple of problems we could see from Ohio State later in the year when they play tougher opponents.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of both, really, because the fact that they got the 35-7 over a quality team tells you something. It tells you what they're capable of. But yes, there is something to be said, and he has played flawless, the QB there this year. Played even better than he did last year, really. Like if you look at his analytics and break it to his decision making. So I think that maybe some of that is, well, hell, it's been working. Just do it. And like you said, a couple of just errant throws where it's like, just tuck that, dude. Just take that sack or whatever, you know. So I think that we'll see. Maybe this is exactly what they needed, and at least it happened in this game, and not, say, against Northwestern, or say in the semifinals. But like you said, it could mean something in the end, no doubt about that. And by the way, it had been 15 years since the last time the Badgers had 5 turnovers in a game. So that really tells you how much they care about the ball, right? That's been their key. I mean, obviously, they don't chuck it up a bunch. We know that. They only chucked it that one year when they had you-know-who, Mr. Wilson. But another squad that we are going to debate later, and I think it'll be an ongoing, is Cincinnati. You know, there was some questions about, speaking of quarterbacks, the quarterbacks early. And about 5 weeks ago, he put that to bed, and he's been on a freaking ritter. He's been on a run. Defensively, they played, you know, really, really good ball. They did, you know, give up some points against a team that, you know, can put up some points in Central Florida. No, they're not Central Florida from a couple years ago, but they got a good quarterback. They got a good system, and all that good stuff. But this one, you know, Central Florida got off to it right away, got up 7-0, got up 14-3. And this is what I was kind of interested in. All right, dude, you're down 14-3. Let's see what you got now. You know what I mean? Let's see, because they haven't been in a ton of really close games. And when they've played their best opponents, they've shined, especially that SMU game. They have Tulsa to close out, so that they actually might go back-to-back Tulsa the way it's set up. That's happened in the AAC a couple times now since that came together. But it was – they had the lead 19-17 at half. They expanded the lead to 22-17, but then gave it up. It was back and forth. They ended up getting enough, you know, they got to like 11. They had a fumble late on a long drive. Otherwise, they could have maybe put some more points on, but it really didn't matter by that time. 36-33. And by the way, Cincinnati defense has forced a turnover in 18 straight games, which is the longest streak in FBS.
Yeah, this one's annoying because I was enjoying cocktails. I bet money on UCF, and I really don't want to talk about it. But we have
I like
a
how you started with I was enjoying cocktails.
Yeah, that may be inflated a couple of bets I regret. But I mean, it was pretty much a one possession game the whole game. But the issue is that Cincinnati's offense was doing, they were kind of a step ahead of UCF's defense at times. I've always ripped Cincinnati's quarterback Ritter because I never thought he's a great passer, a great just overall player. And I think he's taken steps up this year, which you kind of should do as a quarterback. You should progress and get better in your third year. But he made enough plays that game. And the one time where UCF was, I believe, up three, they actually stopped Cincinnati, I think, for the one time they did in the second half, and they forced Cincinnati to punt with, I think it was near the late third quarter. What does UCF do? They throw a pick, and it was Gabriel's first pick, like 280 passes. So when your defense finally makes and you have some momentum, and then two plays later, your quarterback throws a pick for the first time in like 8 or 9 games, you just kind of had a gut feeling of, oh, shit, this is not our day. So credit to Cincy. No matter what division you're in, when you're playing a team who is one of the top in your conference, going to win on the road is always never easy. Like that's their UCF is, they've kind of owned that conference for the last couple of years, or at least been a team who's been willing to, you know, fight hard to knock out. So that's a nice one by Cincinnati. They keep the undefeated season alive. Again, Ritter is maturing. That defense is pretty damn good because you've now played almost every top-notch offensive team in your division or conference, and no one's really run up the score on you. Like, I know UCF scored some points, but their defense wasn't like a joke or abysmal. They made UCF earn a lot of those yards. So that's a nice one for Cincinnati. They can keep their miracle season going. By no means am I a fan of them, but I do kind of enjoy seeing a different team undefeated that could potentially maybe sneak into the Final Four, possibly. It won't be impossible, but and I see a different team kind of be mentioned and spoken about. And as you said before the podcast, Chris, their defense is legit. Like, who knows how they could face up against a Bama or Clemson, but that goes for about every team in the country. But their defense statistically and on the field is one of the better defenses we've seen in a while in college football, because I don't care what conference you're in. If you're on average giving up 17 points or less a game, that shows you're doing something schematically very effectively.
Yeah, and like we said, all year long, they do play in a conference that puts up points. So it's not like it's some kind of chump ass. You could say whatever you want about the conference, but it produces good football and a lot of points. A lot of points. A couple of teams did enough just to get by. One of them is number 11, Oregon, 38-35 over UCLA. That was a competitive game. UCLA still not quite. A little bit harder to have a great program when they, I'm not even going to get into it. It was much on the lines of what you talked about, Northwestern. Georgia snuck by Mississippi State, who's playing a little bit better now, 31-24. Oklahoma just bamboozled Oklahoma State, 41-13, tore them out the frame. Speaking of tearing somebody out the frame, Iowa State 45-0 on Kansas State. You rarely see Kansas State get beat up like that. And like I mentioned, USC still going, Marshall. If they keep winning a couple more games, old boy's not going to get fired. 33-17 over Utah. They played a very good – I think that was their best performance. And then Liberty, who we've been kind of tracking minorly throughout the year, they've been a good story. They have a crooked-ass coach, but, hey, that's college football. They missed a field goal early and then got one blocked late on a 12-play drive. They had an interception late in that – back-to-back interceptions late in that game. One of them led to a touchdown, and that's basically what lost the game. It's kind of weird, though, to miss an opening field goal on a 10-play drive. And then at the end, 12-play drive, get a field goal. I believe it was blocked. So that's a tough one. NC State can put up points. Obviously, that wasn't the case here. It was a struggle to put up points for both sides. NC State 15-14. So the Liberty run of unbeaten is over, but still a pretty good fight.
Yeah, that was surprising because the over-under, I think, was 66. So everyone thought that would be pretty high scoring. Liberty's had a lot of high scoring games. They've beat like three ACC teams, they've been putting up a good fight. And I kept checking the score and I kept waiting for points to explode and it just wasn't happening. So I kept checking. I'm like, all right, okay. So I did that. Next thing you know, Liberty had an easy chance to win the game and they didn't come through with it that time. That was unfortunate because it would have been fun to see their ride continue. But yeah, I don't know. Just again, it's a good story. They only got one loss this year. Again, we're talking about like Northwestern, who has a chance to have a really successful season in Indiana as well. Hell, for Liberty, you're probably setting like records this year. Like, dude, try if you can go 10-1 this year, like, dude, that's a hell of a year. Your recruiting's going to go skyrocket up.
He said he's happy there. They let him cheat, so he's happy there, he said.
You probably have another year or two with your coach before he wanders somewhere else. So, yeah, you got that's just an optimistic hell of a season. And, again, if you make – it wasn't even a far field goal either. If you make a field goal, you're, standing undefeated. Like, that was just a slip-up. But also, Vatek tried to freeze the kicker, so Vatek doesn't have a slip-up that, they lose before. So, karma goes both ways in close games, But, yeah.
And two picks down the stretch, too,
Yeah. So, the Liberty run is over, but, again, you can still have a massively successful season in their standards because I don't think many people thought they'd be ranked this year, let alone going toe-for-toe with a bunch of ACC teams this season as well, Chris.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Speaking of toe-to-toe, Minnesota and Purdue. Speaking of, Minnesota, because I'm a Gopher fan up here in Minnesota, they won 34-31. Questionable or at least controversial pass interference call near the end of the game. Well, I have a still shot that you may not – I don't know if you've seen, but you can see the arm straight. So – Here, I'll send it to you right now.
What have you called it?
I mean, I'm the worst person to look at that, though. I'm a Gopher fan. You know what I mean? Like, I'll send it to you.
But it was such a bad call that the FanDuel Sportsbook in Pennsylvania refunded everyone who bet the game for Purdue. Like, it is rare where a sportsbook gives people their money back. And even on Twitter, and again, I know Twitter can be one-sided, but for the most part, and your still shot could show something, but if you're watching the game live, which officials do.
But that's what I'm going on. That's what I'm saying. Like, live, it didn't look like much, but I just sent it to you. And when you say my still shot could show something, I wouldn't send you a still shot if it didn't show you something. Look at the straight arm. Look at the straight arm. They never showed. They kept showing when there was no contact. They didn't show before the goal line. You see the straight arm.
True. In that picture, you also see the Minnesota guy pulling on his jersey. Or at least it could be. You know, I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they were saying there's no contact, and I thought that was why I called it controversial, because they said there's no contact. Clearly, there's contact. Oh, now, would I call it? No, I don't. I'm not saying that. Hey, I'll take it. But what doesn't get talked about is the no or the call on them the time before. And this is where, you know, you care about this stuff because you're watching the game trying to see who's going to win or lose, because obviously I'm a Minnesota fan. But if we're going to be fair about it, then, you know, what about when, you know, there was a no call at all and we got screwed and that kept their drive alive and gave them a touchdown? So, you know, would they even be in a position to try to win the game if it wasn't for that? Well, okay, we could play that game, but I think that's a stupid game to play because this is football. You miss stuff. But my basic thing was, that's why I called it controversial, because they said there's no contact, which clearly there's contact. Clearly, you can see it. Now, what is it? That's a good decision. Usually, it's a different situation than a jump ball, right? Like, just to keep it Minnesota so we can kind of be on the same page so we know what we're talking about. Remember Rudolph in the Saints game, right, to close the playoffs?
Yeah.
That guy put his hands on him first, and a wide receiver then can take someone's hands off them. Well, that's different. Who had their hands on who first in the still shot? It looks like they both had hands on at the same time. So that's where that's why I say controversial off of that view. You know, live, yeah. But remember, when they kept showing the live, they showed one angle of this angle, and that's it. Otherwise, they kept showing them just running. They didn't even show, you know, they just showed the end zone. And it was like, well, hold on, back the tape up a little bit. But, yeah, I hear that. I hear that. I totally hear that. But I'll take it, too, because that's football. You know what I mean? I'll take it.
There's times where it goes your way, it goes against you. If obviously your team wins, you're happy. But, again, it's super rare when a sports book gives refunds back. Like, holy
shit.
Where
was this again?
It was the FanDuel, I believe, the FanDuel in the sports book in Pennsylvania. They rewarded all their customers within, like, 90 minutes. It's like, wow, I mean. I think that's also good for, obviously, I love betting sports. I do think that obviously can't become a common thing, but I think that every once in a while when you do that, that would increase your clientele, or, you know, when that's something where you're going to get a lot more money back, because, like, a gambler is going to go back to that book or casino. Because, like, remember that time? I think that's a good decision for customers. Again, now, they're every day of football or basketball or hockey or soccer, you're always gonna have your bad beats, which do occur, but that was, I guess, a wise business decision for the sake of money. Again, I don't
think
that'll happen.
And they just refunded everybody's bets, win or lose.
They refunded every Purdue ticket. So you just
every Purdue ticket just got back. So if you bet Minnesota, you still won.
Yeah, if you bet Minnesota, you won. Money on your
Purdue, I heard
Purdue
that
bet,
wrong. I was like, wait, that sucks. What are you talking about? Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because no, that's not good business. I won the game, I bet. You know, okay, I got you. That is dope, dude.
Yeah.
I like
that
a lot. That's rare. I've seen that in the UK once or twice, but that's big. Wow.
Not often, but probably a wise decision, yeah, just for the sake of sports gambling. So, yeah. So that game, and you mentioned to start off the show, I also, last week I did bet, live, I took Tulane. I'm going to quickly summarize, and Chris, I've been bet on sports since the fall of 2004 or 2005. This is one of the worst losses I've ever had in my life as a sports bettor. So I bet it was 0-0. It was Tulane Tulsa. I'll go through this quickly. It was 0-0 in the third quarter on Thursday night. And I just felt Tulane was going to win because I saw their offense was being more productive. And I saw that Tulsa's quarterback got hurt. Okay, so Tulsa's other quarterback gets hurt. Tulane goes up 14-0. So Tulsa's on a third string quarterback near the end of the third quarter. Tulane has all momentum. They make it 14-0. They make it 14-7. And then Tulsa makes it 14-14. And on this 14-14 drive, the quarterback converts I believe, a 4th-and-15 and a 4th-and-12. Okay, so this third stringer is just pulling stuff out of his ass. And then Tulane goes and scores. So there's like 2 minutes to go after this miraculous third string quarterback drive. Well, again, where he converted a 4th-and-15, 4th-and-12, a 4th-and-goal to score. Tied game. Okay, so you're thinking Tulane's going to go down there, kick a field goal, and just play defense and hold on for the win. Tulane does a play action on like 3rd-and-5 on like the Tulsa 20, and they score a touchdown. So even better. Okay, so now I'm now winning by 7 again. I just need Tulane to win. Winning by 7. Tulsa drives on the field yet again. With 6 seconds to go, the ball is on the Tulane 37. Tulane's dumbass calls a timeout. When the second they called a timeout, Chris, I got nervous because that gives Tulsa time to set up a 37-yard Hail Mary. In the Hail Mary, 3 Tulsa wide receivers get behind the Tulane DBs. On a 37-yard Hail Mary, how you let 3 guys get behind you in the end zone is mind-numbing. Mind-numbing. Of course, the ball is caught. Okay, going to OT. First overtime, both teams kick field goals. It is what it is. Second overtime, Tulane Howe has the ball for the first chance. They get down to the 3-yard line. Tulane throws a pass over the middle. The quarterback didn't read the routes. The linebacker takes it to the house. So you had a miracle comeback and then a walk-off 101-yard pick-6 winner. Holy F.
Crazy game. I watched the whole second half.
That's not supposed to happen. A third-string quarterback plays like he's Patrick Mahomes all of a sudden, and they win. Dear, I went to sleep confused. There's different emotions of losing sport bets. It's normally pissed off, frustrated. Yeah. That you want to break a table, or you just want to go for a walk. That one was, I'm not sure what I just witnessed.
Yeah, what the hell just happened? I guess I'm not even. Yeah, I'm not happy, but I'm not mad, but. Like I said, I'm just confused. How did that even happen?
I don't fucking know.
That's crazy.
But it did. Unfortunately, it fucking A. Yeah.
And that's actually why I had to mention some of that. I didn't know that you were going to give that detail a description, which is awesome. But that's why I had to mention it for that hardcore barn burner type. That was a good-ass game. I remember watching that second half.
What's really sad is in 3 of our past 4 episodes, and you don't do this intentionally, like this is not you being a dick on purpose, but you've intentionally opened.
I mean, sometimes it is.
But I normally don't tell you my bets, though. But the last 3 out of 4 shows, you've opened talking about games where I like had to suffer a bad beat. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but thanks for bringing that up, asshole. Like, I'm going to get to it, but I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Well, we've known each other for a while, dude, and we've had a lot of conversations. So I think it's just intuition, I guess it is. By the way, Penn State 0-5 for the first time.
Beautiful.
For the first time in 134 years of their program. And that's what I love about college football. You can say 134, and it wasn't like the Nittany Lions of Toledo. And then they moved to, you know, like the pro. Well, they were here. Then they were here. Then they were the Braves over here. No. It's been the Penn State. You know, it's crazy. 134 years, 0-5. They got beat. LSU's making a little run back. Got to give them a little credit. Maybe they got some COVID people back. 27-24 over Arkansas. That is one of those games that we looked at last week. But, yeah, 41-21. Iowa seems like they found their second wind of the season. They're just looking better in general. Like I mentioned, USC won the biggest game, though. Then we got to move on because we're kind of up against it. Michigan and Rutgers, 3 overtime games, or games. Well, it felt like that. 48-42, 3 overtimes. They found a way to get it done in McNamara, which sounds like either, you know, like a Michigan quarterback or potentially Ohio State, but especially Notre Dame, I'd say. But they get it done. Maybe they found a quarterback here. But obviously this season it's too late. But he is a sophomore, good old Cade, and he put up four TDs through the air. Somehow, some way, though, it really looked like Michigan was going to lose that damn game, dude. I really thought they were going to lose that game. I mean, when it was 21-27, it felt like they were going to lose it. When it was 24-14 in the second half, it felt like they were going to lose it. They ended up winning, but oh my goodness, you could see how that game was turning. You could just see the sidelines like, here we fucking go again.
Do I really need to add anything more? Like, Michigan has been awful this year. I guess it's a win. I mean, you know, but the shit Harbaugh's taking is going to keep coming. His only chance, I believe, to save his job is to beat Ohio State. So again, you know, like I was joking around with my buddies, like, I think if they would have lost to Rutgers, like, that really doesn't matter, because he watched him, like, beat Ohio State for the one time, like, in his run. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's tough. Obviously you got a W. Especially considering 2 years ago, Michigan beat Rutgers 78-0. And now you go to triple OT.
And they got a coach now, though. They got their coach. The last time Rutgers was good, right, they had that coach, right?
And they also had a guy named Ray Rice, who was a very, very nice individual before he went on an elevator. If James Franklin does win a game this year, Chris, would he get fired? Or could a Penn State booster suck it up and say, you know what, we'll give him a second chance? What if Penn State goes 0-4 this year?
I don't know how he'd keep his job.
Too much money invested?
I don't know. I just think they got too much money too, though. The boosters have too much money to say, fuck this guy, we're gonna get a new guy. Because I just don't. If that happened, I don't know. That's a good question. I know it's a COVID year, but I don't know. I don't know how you'd keep I'm not trying to run him out of town like you. But not necessarily before this year. You just don't like him personally or whatever.
Sure.
Because of some of the stuff he says after games or whatever. Pressers in general, before or after games or whatever. And that's cool.
Yeah.
But clearly he's done what few have done in a long time at Penn State. They made him relevant. He won in a Rose Bowl, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he made him into a top-tier type program. I mean, that's undeniable. Talent he's brought in and all that stuff. But yeah, if you go undefeated, the undefeated in reverse, I don't care how much money you got. I think it'd be tough to bring him back, dude, because you can look around and go, well, shit, even this team won some and even that team won some. What the hell? What was your excuse? You know, and obviously we don't know their COVID numbers. We don't know, you know, they're 22. They're starting 22. Wonder if they're at like 7 of the 22, or, you know, then all of a sudden you go, well, fuck, if I was a Penn State fan and I followed their team so I knew exactly who they were starting, and they have like half of those guys in and it's COVID, well, then that makes me go, well, this was kind of a year they were going to have to get over the hump anyway, and then that made it worse. I don't know. I mean, I think the Gophers aren't as bad as it seems too, but they're missing their top two offensive linemen. So, I mean, I don't know. That one's tough, but yeah, I don't think they could bring him back, but let's move on.
Just to play the what if game and then we'll move on. They play at Michigan this week, which is definitely a losable game. Then they go to Rutgers, who we found out is not a joke this year. And then you finish with Sparty at home. And if you're 0-7, with Sparty at home, I'd wear my Michigan State hat if I could find one. Yeah, that's all.
I have a Michigan State hat. So here's what's worrying me now. The Michigan job, and I'm talking about PJ Fleck. Michigan, Penn fucking State, who has their coordinator, our old coordinator. I'm not worried about Notre Dame. I don't feel that bad about USC right now. Now, Texas has to fucking fuck up bad and lose the rest of their – or not fuck up. I mean, sorry. I need them to win at Iowa State so they can finish strong. Because imagine P.J. Fleck the river goes right down the Mississippi to Louisiana. He could just take the river down on a rowboat, row his ass down there, and it would be trouble. So I'm starting to look at some of these programs going, I was not anticipating that. But anyway, speaking of Texas, number 13 Iowa State versus number 17 Texas, 1-point spread Texas. What says you, sir?
How the F is Iowa State ranked 13th? You lost to the Raging Cajuns, and you lost in a garbage-ass game against Oklahoma State, and you're 13th in the country? I don't know. It pisses me off. I don't get it. And they've cost me money, but they have no business. All right, moving on. For this game, Iowa State's the better team. I mean, Texas this year, I don't care what the record says, they had a statistically improbable and phenomenal win against Oklahoma State. They were outgained by 240 yards and they won the game. It was like the third time in 50 years that's happened. And you also had you were down 13 points with 2 minutes to go against Texas Tech and won that game. So for all I know, Texas is like a 4-5 team or 4-3. Who gives a shit? Whatever. So I don't think Texas is that good. And Texas's defense is that good. And Texas offensively, statistically, is not that good. So all the numbers tell me to bet Iowa State. The only issue is that Purdy this year has not been that great either. And they've really had to, like, work off this Bryce Hall. And to give him credit, Chris, that dude's having himself a hell of a year. Breece Hall, my bad. Breece Hall has 180 carries, 1,169 yards, and 15 touchdowns for a conference which is normally known for slinging the ball in the air, not on the ground. So this dude's legit. So you have a better running back. Quarterbacks, I'd say, are toss-up. A much better coach. It's not an asshole. I'm just fired up the last couple minutes. I'm taking Iowa State. I think that they're just an overall better team because I just think statistically Texas's offense is really bad this year. So if
How can you say statistically they average 40 points a game? They run 160. What do you mean statistically? They average 40 a game.
Going into that Oklahoma State game, they were averaging 3.6 yards a play offensively, which is really sad for a college football team. You may be blowing out some shitty teams, but
I mean, they put up 41 against Oklahoma State, which had a better defense than we, you know, in the Big 12.
Again, that game was three times they got outgained by 240 yards, and that game was a prayer from heaven to win.
Right, but they put up 41 points. Is my point.
Wait, yeah, but that wasn't really all about the offense though either, because they only had like 230 yards of offense. That was just lucky. Besides that, okay, you lit up Texas Tech, which defense is trash. TCU, you got up beat 33-31. Oklahoma, that game had a bunch of overtimes. Like I just think, yeah, if you're averaging 3.6 yards a play in a college football, shitty offense. Agreed.
I don't know about shitty is my whole point. It's just a stupid argument.
I just think, but I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I bet if you looked at like a Clemson or a Bama, I bet that they averaged closer to like 4 to 5 yards a play compared to 3.6. That's all I'm just saying there.
Right, and all I'm saying is not shit is all I'm saying.
Oh, well, there's a little bit of hatred against Tom Herman, but I do think, though, that I think Iowa State wins. I think they find a way to win, and I think if you like Iowa State, that's a really beautiful spread to look at. Like, okay, Vegas is saying, hey, this is a close game. You're almost saying Iowa State would be about a 5-6 point favorite in Ames. So yeah, I'll take Iowa State to win that one, and hopefully they game plan unlike they did for Oklahoma State.
And I'm going to take Texas because I don't want PJ Fleck to go to Texas. And they need to win that game. It looks good. They maybe, you know, get the ranking up even higher. All right, let's keep it moving. Notre Dame, North Carolina. Notre Dame up by five. They got a 5 spot on them. This is on the road. It doesn't matter. North Carolina is all offense, basically. Is there any way they're going to slip up, or you think Notre Dame's going to kind of get this one done however that happens?
Who do you think has a better offense? Who's got more talented wide receivers and quarterbacks? What would you say?
I don't know the wide receivers for North Carolina that well. That's a pretty vague, you know. I know they don't have as good as defense. That's what I do know. But sure. I don't know the wide receiver core for North Carolina. I just know they put up 43 a game.
Yeah, they do not have a shit offense. they have been slinging the ball like crazy. So I would lean towards Notre Dame. With that being said, I think Notre Dame wins. I think they're a more complete team. Because as much as North Carolina has scored this year, they've let people score too. So I think this should be a really fun game. I would not bet the under. It is 67.5. I would bet the over in that game because I could easily see Notre Dame dropping 40. And Notre Dame's defense, which we saw against Clemson, isn't the stoutest either. So I would lean the over that game. And so I would bet the over and maybe take like the Irish money line.
All right. Yeah, I have Notre Dame. I kind of like that, too. I just think it is going to be a fun game to watch because – and I would go over. What is it, 67.5,
yeah.
Yeah, I would go over for sure. I think they're definitely going to put up some points no matter who's playing wide receiver. I just know they've – whenever you got 50 back-to-back games, win or lose, you're doing something right offensively.
Should Kentucky be a 24-point dog to Florida?
That's what I mentioned early in the show.
I watched that Bama game, and again, I know the score was god-awful, but there was a lot of moments in that first half where Kentucky was going to score and keep it a closer game than it showed. Like, that was not as quite as bad as it looked in the first half. And Kentucky's offense has actually had a rhythm. I would gladly take Kentucky plus 24 against Florida. I mean, Florida just, you know, they screwed around Vandy a little bit, and I think they won by 17 or 19. Like, that's, Chris, yeah, that's a great bet. And I don't think, unless Pitts comes back, I know he's been having a really tough concussion, that's the stud tight end for Florida. I would gladly look at Florida to not cover by 24 points. I think that'd be a really smart bet.
That was actually what was going to make me decide to either call it out or put money on it if, you know, Pitts, you know, basically, like, what's up with him? Is he back? Is he good? Is he, you know, because that's key for points, obviously. You know what I mean?
Also, another really juicy bet I would look at is Maryland. You got Maryland getting 11.5 points at Indiana. Indiana just had a heartbreaking loss. They've been the top dog. They've not had a letdown all year. You had a valiant comeback. You lose. I think this is a great spot for Maryland. As long as that Tua's little brother's playing, we know they can score. Indiana's can't have a great week of practice just because you just had a heartbreaking loss. I would look at maybe the over there or take Maryland to lose by less than 11. I mean, Maryland's had, again, they've not showed us a lot yet, but they show us they can score. They can be a little flashy on offense. I think that's a really nice spot for Maryland there because Indiana, they might win the game, but again, are you going to have a blowout win after you just had your, you know, miracle season come to an end? Probably not.
And not being able to run the ball at some point makes games tighter than they should too. You know, because it's like, damn, how often, like, I know they're going to air it out. I know they're going to put up numbers, but at some point, some game, well, that game was probably why they lost the game, you know? If they would have been able to run the ball a little bit more, they wouldn't have got down 35-7 probably. So, yeah, that's a good call. 24.5, Alabama, Auburn. You think that's going to be doable? I mean, it's not like Auburn's got a great defense this year or anything like that. Bo Ryan plays good against teams that aren't up to par, and then when he, you know, it's time to for the big boys, he doesn't play that well. Or will the rivalry keep it under 24.5?
Who's Bo Ryan?
Bo Nix, my bad. Well, we know who Bo Ryan is. Don't ask that question who Bo Ryan is, just as it relates to what the hell I'm talking about. At least don't say those words, though. And I'm anti him in some form, right, because he hurt us. But, I mean, we know who he is. It's just Bo Nix. I mean, he always, you know, doesn't really show up, Mr. Nix. Junior.
Bama's, I mean, I know they lost one of their stud wide receivers with the ankle for the year, but there's still lots of studs left. You cannot give me to take Auburn, an Auburn team who got two wins over my Ole Miss boys and Lane Kiffin to get my quota in, and against Arkansas. Like, you've had two virtual wins. Bama could easily just blow the doors off. I would not even come close to betting Auburn. It's, for me, it's betting Bama first half or probably staying away.
Right. And I did mean Auburn with the spread, not Auburn.
Oh, yeah, up. Yeah. Hell, if Auburn wins, that would be a wow. I don't even know what words I would use for that.
Right, but won. I'm talking about the 24.5.
I couldn't touch it. It's you got to be Bama or nothing for me.
And then Northwestern against Michigan State, 13.5. Could they have some sort of, you know, hangover effect? Possibly. Georgia's kind of weird. 21.5 points. They should win that over South Carolina, but I don't know. LSU's been on the run. They're 3-3 now. 14.5 point spread. A&M. Maybe they'll pull the upset. I doubt it, but you never know. Any other games that you want to break down here? We do have some other, like, you know, before we get to some of these hardcore barn burners to keep an eye on.
What does your gut say for the Egg Bowl? It's the first ever Kiffin against Leach. Obviously, Kiffin's had a little more of a successful season, and Mike Leach is actually playing with less scholarships than NCAA prefers, but they have allowed – he's had like 15 guys leave the team. But I guess from that standpoint, you know, they're probably not going to fire him as a coach. So now the guys you do have playing for you, probably the guys you want and guys to build off of, and I'm sure he's going to get recruits in there. But what does your gut say for the first ever Kiffin Leach game at Oxford?
My gut is it'll go over 68, the over-under. That's my guess.
So that Mississippi State offense who's struggled all year is going to find maybe a couple of cracks in the armor against good old Lane Kiffin. That's probably a true statement, sir.
Well, it's just that, you know, we've had some arguments about offense, but I don't think there's much argument here to have about defense when you're giving up 40.9. I don't know what they're giving up per passing yardage or per play, but I know when you give up 41, basically, it's basically, oh my God. Dude, you should have saved this. This could have been the crafty crappy game of the week. 41 points. Yeah, you're putting them up while you're giving up 40. Holy shit. I knew they were giving up points, but I didn't know 40. So, yeah, somehow, some way, you know, I know it sounds weird to say that they're going to put up points, but I did. There's just something about it. I think they were actually close to Georgia last week, which maybe kind of – maybe I'm just doing, hey, what have you done for me lately? True. They were, you know, maybe that's what I'm thinking. But it's not like I've forgotten about 24-2 over Kentucky either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got a cheer for my boy Kiff, and I see he's a 9-point favorite. I'm not sure if they can cover. I would maybe tease him down to 2 or 3, but I'll be cheering for Ole Miss. But yeah, I hope they win. But yeah, I'm with you. I think there should be a lot of points scored. If you want to bet the under there, again, I wish you a lot of good luck. One game that I'll mention quickly, and I'll throw it back to you. We talked about them a couple weeks ago. San Jose State used to be one of the worst teams in college football, and now they're 4-0. Again, this game doesn't really mean shit for the national title, but just if you're a college football fan, it's kind of a cool story. They go up to Boise. So if San Jose could somehow beat Boise State, that would probably be the biggest win in, like, school's history in the past 20, 30 years. So, and Boise State's getting 11.5 points. So if you're looking from a gambling standpoint, and I know Boise gets their quarterback back, but you probably have a San Jose State team is playing their biggest game they've played in, like, the last 2 decades. Like, and you're giving me 11 points? Like, hell, I would gladly take them with a little bit of money on them to say, hey, prove yourself. This is clearly they'll be the more motivated team. I know Boise's probably a better team, but if we're looking for advantages to play, I would take San Jose State plus 11. And again, this is the biggest game they've played in a long time. Maybe they could pull off an upset. That would be a pretty good story for them to continue.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that. That's a really good call. That definitely could happen. I like how you pinpointed that one. I think that's about it. Utah Washington might be a good game. Let's get to the crafty crappy pick of the week there, sir.
All right, so to recap, last week, again, we're still up on the season. Last week was a little bit of a kick to the gut.
For 7-3 now.
Yeah, 7-3. Not too shabby for the record. That is a return of investment. That is a very nice return of investment. We had
And that's two old, losses in a row too, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yes. So we need that shit to end. We had Rice against North Texas. Chris went with Rice, the former baseball academy for college baseball players. North Texas won 27-17. Nothing special about the game. We just picked the wrong side. It was a interstate Texas matchup. And for this week, I've literally scanned three different times. And you can take this as a troll or as a true statement, but literally the crappy pick of the week is Michigan Penn State.
I knew it. I fucking knew it. It is a 50-50 game though, dude. I mean,
let me do my preview. Hold on. I was gonna do my preview.
ESPN has got Penn State winning.
So this is a 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff. Again, if you're not aware of these teams, I'm gonna give you a quick update about them. It's the Penn State Nittany Lions, who have a blue logo. And the Michigan State Wolverines, who have one of the best helmets in football. So in case you have not heard about these schools,
they're playing a small conference. It's called the Big Ten. There's 14 teams in it.
For the first time ever, I think we have a crap pick of the week. That game is on ABC.
Yeah, it is. It's for sure the first time ever.
We're normally always like the ESPN Plus, occasionally like the SEC Channel or even FS1.
This is legit, though. This is ABC. Legit crappy. They both do it. Oh my god, it is true. You're right. I knew you were gonna pick it. I fucking
these
knew
teams
it.
Have
I didn't
played
even look
a
com- at it,
these
it.
Teams have played a combined 10 games and they've won two total. Enjoy, my friend. I want to hear you recap or preview this football game played on a field.
Well, you know, this is a crappy. I mean, this is the PJ Fleck Bowl, is what the fuck this is. I mean, right? Is this the PJ Fleck Bowl or is this not the PJ Fleck Bowl? Although I'll say this. The Michigan thing I'm afraid of and Penn State and all that, but I still think he want to be on that side of the division. Or can he, you know, build a team and then in a couple of years build another team in a couple, you know, is he, would he rather just not go to Texas or, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Or USC or I think he'd rather do that. Then go, or even Notre Dame, who has to play five ACC games, but it's not like they have to go through something to get to a conference final like Ohio State. My guess is he wouldn't want to do that, but who knows? But it does kind of feel like the PJ Fleck Bowl in a little bit. And like I said, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, 53.2, Penn State is going to get off the schneid. That's what they say. 58.5. I mean, that's the over-under set. Like, that's – oh, man, this is funny, dude. It's a two-point favorite for Michigan. Wow. So they're both giving up 36 a game. Michigan's a little bit more up there, 30.6 as far as, you know, scoring points. Man, they both run the ball pretty well. Not great, but pretty well. Dude, this is – 279, 278 for passing. I mean, this is a hell of a matchup. clearly, on the ground, and this is where stats, like we talked about defense. Well, okay, 36 against 36, right? They both give that up. But, you know, Michigan is give, just to play your point from earlier, Michigan is giving up 274 to 221, which is a nice gap for passing, and then 163 to 138, which is a healthy gap there too. So you'd probably look at it. Now, of course, then you got to look at opponents, you know, who they've played. And obviously, you know, Ohio State was tough. Indiana was tough. Wisconsin, Indiana. I mean, it's pretty even. One team's at least won some games. Obviously, Minnesota's struggling this year, and Rutgers, well, they're Rutgers. Can they get off the schneid? Oh, boy. God, I am stuck. Oh, man. I'm going to go Damn, dude. Fuck. This one's tough. I didn't think it'd be this tough for this kind of shit game. Wow. I've seen too much of them. That's the problem. I don't see these other games. I look at it and make a decision. Now I've seen so much of them, so I'm like, oh, I know too much about these teams. I'm going to go with the Penn State Nittany Lions to get off the schneid and get that first W and keep PJ Fleck right here in Minnesota.
Well, that's a beautiful pick.
First and last ABC primetime crafty crap at the pick of the week.
It's gonna be hard for that to happen again. I would agree with that statement. We always do alumni pages just after. Normally we pick schools who don't have really, you know, well known alumni, but we can do this anyways quickly. For Michigan alumni, the top name is Gerald Ford. Obviously, okay, you gotta respect that. James Earl Jones, another popular name. Mr. Yeah. Tom Brady is seventh on the list. Okay. He's right next to some guy named Branch Rickey, who has like a black and white photo. Who's Branch Rickey? Branch Rickey was an American baseball player instrumental in breaking the color barrier. Okay. All right. That's respectable. Lucy Liu. Okay. Well-known actress. Charles Woodson's on the second page. Mike Wallace, that's a news reporter.
Yeah, I was going to say, the big hitters, dude. Wallace, Brady.
Rob Pelinka, he's been causing some news of late. He's been wheeling and dealing for the good old LeBron clip.
I'd say Lakers. He's done pretty well, considering.
Kendra Lust is a very famous adult
actress. Film
actress, yes. I'm a fan of hers, for the record. Duncan Robinson had a nice little run for the Heat. Trey Burke did as well. Not for the Heat. Jamal Crawford. I mean, there's obviously a handful of basketball players you can name. Michael Phelps went to Michigan? I did not know that. Okay.
And how did he get the Wheaties $40 million? Oh, forget it. That's only basketball and football. Yeah, we won't talk about that.
And that scumbag Larry Nassar, he went to Michigan. Oh, Lord, there's some questionable people here. And the last, wait, Madonna was Michigan too?
Yeah, I did know that, actually. Michigan's got it in the bag, dude. Look, listen to what you just, Woodson, Wallace, Madonna, Brady, it's in the bag. Let's get to Penn State and shut this thing down.
Okay. Their first person's Mark Parker. Mark Parker is a American businessman who is an executive chairman of Nike. Okay, that's respectable, but no one knows who the hell you are. I'm not going to name names of people I don't know. Tom Verducci is a baseball writer. Oh, hold on, let me count this. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. The 12th name listed, Jerry Sandusky. Update your shit, Google. Come on now. Wait. Saquon Barkley hasn't even scrolled through the list yet. Chris, I can't even keep going. You got Jerry Sandusky on the second page. That's it.
Once we hit the Sandusky, yeah, it's a wrap.
We're done. Yeah, so go Michigan. All right. On a much happier note, Thanksgiving's coming up. Hopefully this is a time where everyone can spend time with their family. I know we all want to stay safe, but I think everyone this year wearing a mask or doing what you're doing, everyone wants to spend some time with their family. So enjoy a nice holiday. Christmas is around the corner. Hopefully we keep staying safe. Keep your wearing your mask. Try to enjoy the holiday as much as you can. 2021 is right around the corner. And also, for a good note, you have Pro Football Thursday, College Football Friday, College Football Saturday, and Pro Football Sunday. So it's a very nice weekend to enjoy food and time with your loved ones. The boys are out tonight. Peace.